This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 376 for property ID 210-126-000. The property is owned by David Arndt and Julie Arndt. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have David Arndt on the line for the appellant present over video chat. He can see us and we can hear him just fine. So even though we can't see you, that's all good. Go ahead and do raise your right hand, though, because we'll get you sworn in and get going.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Let's see. A little disshuffled here trying to get online and stuff, get my thoughts together. I'm assuming you have all my information I sent to, as far as my comparables, and the county has their comparables.
Yes.
Just looking over what I did find, I have a range from comparables. Comparable one, $550,000, and then the other upper end was $690,500. And those are similar houses, pretty similar on outbuilding or barn. And that's what I came up with. The county came up with a couple others that were a little more. When I looked them up, I found out, let's see, I'll go back again. They were listed, what they had is $913,547 and $856,500. And the houses were pretty similar, but one thing they didn't say, one of the descriptions below in the comments said newer barn contributes to value, and the other one didn't say much about outbuildings that I read briefly through. But when I looked up on the county website, I found out comparable one has a huge barn, more like a horse ranch. It has a 4,000 square foot barn plus another structure, mesh structure, 600 square feet, detached garage, 1,980 square feet, and another small detached building. You got a lot of extra structures there, and I sent a picture of one of those, and I'm getting back into the pictures I sent. That wasn't it. Oops. I'm looking for my technical difficulties. I'm looking on my computer for that. The county comparable, and it shows quite the setup on the horse ranch, or I see horses out there on this picture anyway. All vinyl fences. That's and another building. So there's quite a bit of value on that property they showed, trying to build a structure like that. And same goes for the other one, comparable two. The pictures don't really show it justice that is on the county. They didn't show all the, but if you go zoomed in, I wasn't able to get a picture on that one. A lot of trees, I believe, is what the problem was at the time. But there, the comparable two, it shows another detached garage, 529 square foot, a pole cover. I don't know what that means, meaning a carport or something. almost 1,000 square foot. Another detached garage, 720, plus a multi-purpose building, which is 3,720 square foot. So they're both having huge structures that a couple hundred thousand, I imagine, for all the outbuildings and things that were presented on the comparables the county had. Back to my comparables, I have similar, and what I was put down in my application or what you have was probably a little low considering what was going on. I think I put 620. I'm trying to shuffle through some of my papers here and not doing a very fast job at it, but here it is. Yeah. And so I added from the year previously, I had a heating system put in, new heat pump, air handler, and that added value to it. On the other hand, I still have a lot of work. Place is a 20-plus years old, and roof is a 20-year roof, and so it's at getting towards the end of its lifespan, still functional, but eventually it's going to need replacement. And the windows are starting to, the argon in them are losing, need replacement. And I had a picture of my barn that I'm working on, trying to restore it. It's several, the county has it as 1901, but I think that was wrong. What I saw is a 1947, which puts the structure of the brick and things more in line. I still have a ways to go to restore it. Not a real usable building because of short ceiling inside and smaller doors and stuff, but I'm saving it. And other than that, I don't have outbuildings compared to the other counties' comparables. So there is some devalue on this, what I got on my property here. So that's part of the issue of the valuation that was assessed. Of course, the landscape is getting overgrown after 20 years. Need some new paint, exterior painting, which it's 20-some years old, too, original paint. And so basically I'm chipping away at it. And that's kind of where I'm at, if that made it kind of clear of the how the county came up with their assessment of the horse ranches compared to my old barn and what I have going. So I guess you guys have some questions for me.
You said you thought you might be a little low on the 620. Did you want to amend the amount you're asking for, or did you want to stay with the 620?
Well, I'd stay with that, but I'm being fair with my comparables. I think one of them, my comparables I found was a little older. Comparable one is similar, a lot more house, and so it was 550, and the upper end, the other comparables, they're similar in some fashion, except I'm not sure their condition as far as roof replacement, how soon that was done, and upgrades. So I would say probably a little bit lower than what I said, and that I was like spur of the moment. I always do everything last moment. I said, oh, I got to have this in by tomorrow, deadline. Anyway, getting to the upper like 650,000 to close to 670 or so. I'm thinking that's a little more fair. I'm not sure what the story is on this lower end 550 house that was back in March of 2020. But then, of course, the other one is, oh, here, the latest one was March 5, 2021. And it has a little more. It's actually a two-story, it looks like. It says ranch, but it has some areas that are split level, I think. Oh, they did have a basement. That's the one I put in. I should have looked at that closer. But they do have extra outbuildings, 1,200 square foot in 05 and a 1,152 square foot in 2013. Newer buildings, usable buildings versus mine. So that's at what I'm thinking is on the other end, spec higher end with better upgrades. And the other one had a little more similar.
So you're thinking 650 to 670 is reasonable.
I think so. I was probably a little low compared to prices of property going up and up and up. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I can understand give a little, but not as much as the county was thinking on their comparables. And if I need to still do work to get the higher amount.
Okay.
There needs to be a lot of work with them chipping away at.
Now, David, what source did you use to pull your comparables?
How did I come up with them?
Yeah, what site or source did you use for your comparables? How were you
able to pull those? Partially on previous sales, Zillow, and then I cross-referenced what I found on the county website to make sure it was correct, and that's what I came up with. I think I sent, I'm not sure if I sent all the paperwork because it was just a little overwhelming, but I have the county's printout, and that's where I came up with what you see now with the dates and the amount.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, I don't have any other access or know of how to find them. I just do the best I can or stumble across them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
I'm good.
Yeah, I don't have any further questions. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Thank
you. Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 371 for property ID 180489000. The property is owned by Jonathan D. Burke and Karen J. Burke. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Jonathan Burke on the line for the appellant. We can't see you, which is totally fine, but if you could please go ahead and raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021.
Right.
Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Very well. The four properties I have outlined here, I think, are in different ways for each property, but they're all similar to the property that we have. So let's go through them. First, the one on Northwest 161st Way, 3618. Notes on that. That is a property that's not very far away from us. It's between us and I-5, which is, I-5 is about 2 miles away. It's a similar size property, R-5, just like our place. Construction quality was listed as good plus. Ours was good. It's a similar size. It sold in the summertime in August of last year, 6 months before the date of this January 1st valuation, for $800,000. And again, I think it's quite representative of the house that we have in terms of looks and size and all the rest. The second property is 713 Northwest 214th Circle. This is a property that's in Rolling Hills development, which is a very, very nice development. Lots of ground around the houses that are well kept. Again, 5 acres, virtually the same size as us. And again, good plus construction quality. It's on the main floor, smaller than us, but then when you include the finished basement, it's bigger than us. It as well sold in the summertime, similar to the first property I mentioned, for $780,000. The third property is 6317 Northwest 196th Street. That's west of us, between us and the river, which again is a couple of miles, give or take. And that's in a development called Mettler Manor, which again, like Rolling Hills, is a very well-kept development. It's lots of space around the houses, well-kept yards and so forth. This one sold for, again, last summer, similar to the first two, for $725. It's a little bit smaller, 2 acres instead of our five, but there are times when I wish our place was only 2 acres. I didn't have to mow so much grass. It's virtually the same size house, a tiny bit larger, 3-bedroom, 3-bath, 1,280-square-foot garage, similar to ours. The fourth house is 3601 Northwest 217th Way. This is the house that's closest to us, physical distance. Again, a very, very nice looking house. Again, about 2 acres size versus our five. But all the other things are fairly similar. It's a larger house than ours. Almost 4,200 square feet, 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, with an attached garage similar in size to our own. It sold a couple months earlier, in spring of last year, for $760,000. I know that housing prices have gone up, but that's been, in my research, that's happened mostly after this January 1st of last year date. So these houses that sold in the summertime or the springtime for $725, $780, and $800 certainly appreciated some before the January 1st date of last year when this is supposed to be effective as of. But I don't think that they've gone up as much as they have since then during the calendar year of 2021. So I think the $825,000 that I said for our house truly represents a reasonable market value for this house. And while some of these other houses are in very well taken care of developments, again, I point out to you the houses that are close to us, the two houses, one across 188th, and one across 41st. Those are both in very poor shape. The one across 41st is a 728-square-foot house that is not well taken care of, nor are the grounds well taken care of. And the one directly across 188 from us, we're at the corner of 41st and 188, is as well. It's a mobile home that was put on the place 50 years ago, I suspect, and is very poor. The grounds are terrible, and the house is not well kept up. So I think that those two really speak to the fact that the environment here does not bring the value of our house up to what it would be if it were sitting in Mettler Manor or Rolling Hills. So I think the valuation that I've asked for of $825 is reasonable and a fair market value for this property. Do you have any questions for me?
I don't have any. It's very clear.
Okay.
Is your house original, or have you made any improvements to the home?
Yes, we did make an improvement. We on the back, we put a cover over the back patio area. I think that was $25,000. Yeah, on the form, it's called patio cover added in 2012, $24,500. Yeah. That's really the only improvement that we've made to the house.
Okay.
There is a what I call a barn on this property. It's when we moved in, and the assessor set our value at a certain amount above what we paid for it, I objected and said, but we only paid $495 for it. And he said, well, what about the barn? I said, that barn, I put $5,000 into it just to keep it from falling down over when we got a good snow. And he said, yeah, I can agree that that's, he listed it as used up, some term like that, that meant basically yes. Wasn't good for anything.
Good. I'm on a conference on the computer, but I...
Okay.
Okay. Have enough information to make a decision.
Okay, gentlemen. Any other questions?
I don't think I have any.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to present my information to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. He's got it. Okay, he's off. And then, Dan, you want me to go ahead and close it?
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearing through the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 364 for property ID 236-317-000. The property is owned by Robert Johnson and Carol Johnson. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Robert Johnson on the line for the appellant present over the phone. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand, we'll go ahead and get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from Ms. Ford as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. Let me ask you quickly first, did you get the letter from the assessor that reduced the value from 774 down to 744?
I did. And that was based upon the estimate of what the Paul Davis said would be required to do the repairs, although I've had other people there that said that I shouldn't bank on just $30,000 because it could probably run over.
And who made that estimate of $30,000?
Paul Davis. Paul Davis Restorations.
Is that in your material someplace?
It is.
I didn't see it. Can you point me to where that is in your material?
Oh, I don't have my whole package right in front of me either. But I cannot do that immediately right now. But there was an estimate from Paul Davis Restorations for $30,000 to repair the mold damage. I'm not sure if that was considering to replace the leak, the plumbing too, but it may have been. I talked to the plumber that plumbed this house, which precipitated the whole problem. there was a pinhole size hole in the angle at the top of the shower riser, and that was in the exterior wall of the house, and I have hardy plank on the outside, and I had tile on the inside, and there was no evidence of a water leak until it had migrated to the basement crawl space, which I don't regularly check.
Okay. And then the amount you requested is $619,000, which I assume is your original appraisal. Is that correct?
That's pretty close. Because there's that repair, and I mean, and this house was built in 1999, and it's beginning to show its age, even though it's only a little over 20 years old.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about?
Well, it's something that I do have something else that I put in next year, but I didn't know about it until recently. I had leak filter put on my gutters about a little over a year ago, and I've had nothing but problems with them ever since. And come to find out here, when my brother-in-law was helping put up Christmas lights, with the gutters overflowing with these leak filters on there, I've got rot on the roof and in some of the what do they call trusses at the end of the trusses, but I'm too late. I didn't find that out until I was hanging Christmas lights in mid-December, and that wasn't enough time to put anything in.
Okay. Do you have estimates on that? I do not
have estimates on that.
Yeah, if you do that, or
I'll have to get them before.
Yeah, if you do
I'll
that,
have to get them before next year. Pardon?
If you get total bids on doing the mold remediation. Have you done that yet?
I have not done the mold remediation because I've been wanting to get a second mortgage to try to do that, but everybody wants to give me a new first mortgage. Nobody wants to give me a second. And if I refi VA, I'd be paying an extra $16,000 to $18,000 for VA funding fee.
Really?
So, yeah. Every time you refi with a VA loan, you pay a new VA funding fee.
Wow.
So I've got...
Even if you go to a conventional loan, you get that funding fee?
If I went to a conventional loan, I probably wouldn't have the funding fee, but the interest rate would be considerably higher. But I'm really hoping to yet to wind up getting a second mortgage.
Yeah. All right. If you get those bids for the remediation of both the mold and the roofing, we can consider those next year if you appeal next year.
Right.
Okay.
I figured, like you said, that will be something that may have an impact this year, because I didn't discover that until too late to put it in for this year.
Right. Okay.
What I've done was I've killed the mold, but I haven't done the repair work for it. And there is some rot that needs to be replaced.
Okay. I think we have enough information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Nope, no questions.
No questions for me.
Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Close it.
Yeah, close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. At this time, we're reviewing a late file for Joseph Hubert Gianon. It's for tax parcel 123006072. It's a request for reconvening using reconvening code 01. It says, as mentioned in my phone conversation, I did not get a copy of the notice of value. I didn't see the new assessment until I checked our account through the website. I would appreciate your kind consideration on this request. Thank you. Sincerely, Joseph.
Didn't receive the information, right?
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
okay.
One of the options.
Okay, and then I guess I'll go ahead and have you close it. That's the only one for today.
Okay.
Yep. This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 367 for property ID 130958000. The property is owned by Christopher Lizert and Lori Lizert. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Chris Lizert and Lori Lizert on the line for the appellant. We can't actually see you on our end, that's okay, but whoever would like to speak, go ahead and, even though we can't see you, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Did I hear two?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. So first, we had a meeting last year as well, and the assessor and the board came back with a $570,000 value. So on the assessor's response for this year, it says it's starting at $693,348. And so it's actually starting at the $570,000 based on last year's meeting.
Well, they don't actually benchmark off the last year's value. They do a model, and they put in all the sales for the last year.
Right. I'm just trying to establish a starting point from last year to this year.
Okay.
So I think it's going up over $100,000 based on last year's assessed value determination. So, and then I'd like to go over...
Well, it's almost $125,000 increase.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we have the assessor's comps that he sent to us as well.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go through those first.
Okay.
The first three on his list... I would say are fair evaluations. The first one does have a full basement and it's not on a busy road. Like, we are a thoroughfare on our road. So that's two differences I found on the first comparison. The second comparison is actually pretty accurate. It's just down the street from us. And it so that is a great comparison as far as the location and the home. The third evaluation has a basement and an outbuilding, and as well as not on a busy road. So that is still a fair, I would say, a fair assessment. The fourth example he has on here, it has over an acre more than us. It has 1,200 more square feet, more bedrooms, it has an outbuilding, and it's on the river with a river view. So those don't apply to us as well. So that, I feel, is out of skew compared to our home value. And then I submitted our two comparables, which are pretty much in line with the first three comparables that he had submitted. About our property, it is the back half, we can probably back third to a half because unusable land based on the water situation. We get, I can try to share some photos. I know I was supposed to turn those in, but we did not get a chance to do yet. So this is our back property. This is, you can see the water is just standing totally unusable.
Where is, in the pictures that you did provide this,
yeah.
Where is it in that?
It's in the back section of the property. The part that you can see is unmowable. You can see where we can mow up to that one line.
It's basically the whole yard, probably 40 feet off the house it starts to flood. And I know we've talked about this before with the easement of the power lines that cut over the back. It's kind of unusable anyways. But then the flooding, it just seems like the value of the house is one thing. It's just built in the wrong spot. It's just like a flood zone, and there's just not much you can do back there except kind of try to divert the water and keep it from the house.
Doesn't come up around the house, though.
Not yet. It's really close. Like after these last couple days, especially, it's closer than it's ever been. We just kind of have to trench it and try to divert it the best we can. Closer than I would like, and I think my leach field is actually probably not in the best shape. I'm not an expert, but I know you can't have standing water around your leach field and drain field and stuff. So, I don't know. We look at these values and it's we need to put a lot of money into this to take care of this water problem. I would have never imagined we would have flooded like on the side of this hill we are up here on Woodburn, but the water's just incredible what comes off that hill.
So the comps that you mentioned from the county that you thought were most comparable, one of them was built in 1934, one was built in 1944, and the other was built in 1935.
Yeah, those were the
assessors. Right. But you're saying those were the most comparable to your house. Your house was built in 2012.
Yes, but I'm basing that on the size and the location.
Okay, but also I think you have to take into consideration the age of the home also. And I'm just looking at the pictures. The structure is nothing like your home at all in terms of how up to date it is and that sort of thing. That was just my observation.
Sure.
From looking at the age of the home.
Yeah. Well, no doubt about that.
The comps that you provided, one was 40 years older and the other was 30 years older, which I'm wondering, were you not able to find anything that was any more recent, closer to, a 2012 build or even in the 2000s? There was nothing else comparable?
I did this back in July, so I don't recall. So I must not have if I did not include that.
You might just want to keep that in mind if you're appealing next year to try to find something comparable in age as well as square footage.
Yeah, there must have been if he didn't find a comparable in the same time frame either. Is that a fair assumption?
You might want to look too at the county website. They list all the comps, and you might be able to, when you're looking at that, you might be able to find some that are more comparable in terms of the age of the home and the style of the home.
Sure. I guess we didn't really look at the year built so much, but
the age of the home and the style of the home definitely affects the value.
Maybe some of those older homes are much better built than like this one that's, it's settling and all the concrete's cracking, the sheetrock's popping, the house is just moving, I think, due to this soggy ground.
We have ducks flying in and landing.
So, yeah, I tried to take a picture of the power lines, and I think it's 150-foot easement off the center of those lines, which basically is like, the backyard's just unusable. It's just kind of a marsh and a flood. That's part of what we have to deal with. It's not that deep everywhere else, but it's 6 inches everywhere, 4 inches, pockets of water like that, yeah. And I think even though it's not flooding around the house, it's soggy enough. I don't really know. I'm really disappointed. The concrete's moving and it's cracking and it's cracking away from the house. And we got some real problems here.
Well, another thing you might do is get a bid. If you said the money you'd have to spend to, I don't know how you solve the water problem, but if you've got any estimates from anybody, that's something you could submit for future appeals.
Yeah, and we did. I did a couple years ago, and it was just kind of out of our... I just couldn't afford it.
Just be sure you resubmit that every year, because every year is a brand new appeal, and we don't have access to what you've done in previous years. So you have to resubmit the evidence for us every year.
Okay. We did get a bid, like I said, several years ago to try to divert this with some fill, and it was permitted, and a lot of drainage tiles and stuff, and it was $75,000, and that was without bringing in dirt to level it. So, yeah, that was kind of a non-option.
Okay. Well, even if it's not something you can viably do, if you have some kind of a recent estimate or bid for us, that helps us to be able to make an investment.
How did you come up with you requested a value of $500,000, which is substantially lower than the comparables that you showed us? and lower than last year even.
Just based on the property that's so much unusable that we dropped the land down.
It,
I guess just because the flooding is such a detriment, right? You could have $1 million house here. That doesn't mean it's worth $1 million if it's flooding and shifting down the hill. And I don't know. I don't know what to do. Insurance doesn't cover it. Like we kind of bought a lemon. But who'd have thought it would have flooded up here on this Woodburn Hill?
Okay, I think I got it.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 365 for property ID 109-976-406. The property is owned by Meng Li Lim and Si Kwok Kwach Lee. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 362 for property ID 986031260. The property is owned by Jill McGuire and Robert Karse. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Robert Karse on the line for the appellant, present sort of over video chat, but we can talk over the phone. So I know we can't see you, but that's okay. Go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
All right. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I don't have any questions, so I'll go ahead and start.
Yep, go for it.
So upon receiving the new assessor's value, I decided to go through all the comparables for Camas proper, as that's where we reside. I'm not sure if they're using all of Clark County or not, but I thought it would be more of an accurate assessment to look at Camas specifically, because in my opinion, when most people look at homes, they look in certain areas based on either where they work or school districts, things of that nature. So that in turn can drive home values. So in looking at all the home sales in Camas for the year, I went through and I did everything that was plus or minus 200 square feet were comparable, thinking that once you go beyond that, you might be losing a bedroom or shrinking rooms. So I thought that was kind of a fair cutoff on either side. And then I looked at only homes that did not have basements and that were similar quality ratings, that were not quality five. And the reason I did that is because I feel that a basement provides more value, especially during a pandemic when you need some place to either work in peace or have your kids go play so you can work in peace. but also, the quality of five rating is, when I looked at those homes, I pulled those up online, looked at the pictures and the finishes on the homes as well as the yard space and just the overall curb appeal looked a notch above our home. So when I looked at all the comps, the three strongest comps, and when I say strongest, I'm looking at the bedrooms and the bathrooms, the square footage, and the garages, trying to get as close to our home as I can. I arrived at an average value of 601,333. And then I said, okay, what if I do all the comps excluding new construction? And the reason I exclude new construction is a couple of reasons. Cost of goods and services go up. Cost of labor goes up. That kind of inflates new home prices to a certain extent. Also, you're getting a new home. You're getting what I would believe is a better quality build because of changing building codes, as well as you're going to have a home that hasn't been lived in. So it hasn't been, the floors haven't been scratched. There's no patches in the walls, things of that nature, fresh paint. So those homes are going to command a higher dollar value, I believe. So I looked at all the homes, all the comps, excuse me, in Camas, and I excluded new construction, which are highlighted in green on the spreadsheet that I sent over to the committee. And I arrived at a value of $612,695. And then lastly, I just took all the comps, including new construction, and I arrived at $622,465. When I looked at the assessor's value, his total is $668,967. So regardless of if we use the three strongest comps, the comps excluding the new construction, or all the comps on the spreadsheet, there's still quite a gap between what I'm finding and what the assessor is saying the value is, which is somewhat concerning to me. So I believe in the petition I asked for the value of 601,333. I know in the past when I've asked for a value, I think it was two or three years ago, the committee or the assessor came back and said, will you accept this, which I did. And then I want to say it was last year, I just skimmed the numbers of the assessor. I didn't go as in-depth as this, but I didn't contest that. I think the increase is 3 or 4%. When I kind of looked at those numbers, they seemed to be in alignment for the most part relative to our home. So I feel like there's enough comparables here to make a valid case. I believe there's about 30, 35 home sales here on this spreadsheet. So. And that's my case. Any questions?
I have no questions.
No?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I appreciate the board's time in this matter.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us is case number 361 for property ID 102-580-000. The property is owned by Demian A. Padoni and Megan D. Padoni. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since there is no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The The hearing before us involves petition number 239 for property ID 127-141-000. The property is owned, at least on the record, by Alan Shapiro, trustee. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Alan Shapiro and Miriam Van Gerpen, both the owners, on the line for the appellant present over video chat. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Are you testifying?
Yes, I am.
Ma'am, no, is she testifying?
No.
Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, very good. I have no questions. Thank you very much. Let me start by saying, as part of the six-year review process, the assessor determined the value of the subject property as of January 1, 2020. That was last year. We disagreed with the assessor's valuation and appealed to the BOE. The BOE agreed with our valuation of the property as of January 1, 2020. The BOE's decision is attached to our supplemental petition. In determining the value of the property on January 1, 2021, the assessor refused to accept the BOE's determination of value of the property as of January 1, 2020. The assessor applied the Clark County adjustment for 2020 to the assessor's original January 1, 2020 value to determine the January 1, 2021 value. This resulted in an increase in the value of the subject property as determined by the BOE of 26.5%. Based on Freedom of Information documents provided by the assessor performed no separate or comparable analysis of the property in determining the value as of January 1, 2021. The only analysis performed by the assessor was a determination of the annual adjustment. The failure of the assessor to separately analyze the property and determine why it should not accept the BOE's determination of value as of January 1, 2020, or the circumstances that have changed since the BOE's valuation should be sufficient to rebut the presumption of the assessor's, that the assessor's value is correct. In response to this petition, the assessor submitted a comparable sales grid with the high-level information on five sales. No detailed analysis of the location or attributes of the five properties was presented. Only one of the properties is included in the same neighborhood as the subject property. Three of the properties are in the Rivershore community, which is a well-known, high-end, premium community in which the properties command a premium price. The Rivershore properties are not comparable to the subject property. The assessor inexplicably made adjustments to two properties, but not two other properties, to reflect the increase in value between the sale date in 2020 and the year end. No supporting information for the adjustment was provided by the assessor. It's highly questionable whether one can measure the increase in value over such a short period of time. Without supporting information, these adjustments should be rejected as mere speculation. The assessor's grid with respect to the subject property has two serious mistakes. The square footage of the main building is 4,548 square feet, not 5,732 square feet. The square footage of the main building and the secondary living structure is 5,732 square feet. So what the assessor did is added the secondary living structure to the main building and then also add the square footage of the secondary building. The waterfront utility of the property is average and not premium. The assessor incorrectly included a dock in the assessed value of the property and determined the waterfront utility of the property was premium. As the BOE stated in its determination of value as of January 1, 2021, in 2014, the assessor determined the docks were non-assessable personal property. And after eliminating the docks from the assessor's criteria for determining waterfront utility, the property only has an average waterfront utility based on the assessor's criteria. The supplement includes comparison of the subject property and the only comparable property sold in 2020 located in the same neighborhood as the subject property. The comparison shows the adjusted range of values of the comparable property is less than $1,830,751, the value determined by the petitioner. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I had one question. I underlined something in your, it's on page 2 of the letter that you sent.
Sure.
You said the assessor's office stated that they used the value that the assessor had determined on January 1 and subjected that amount to the annual adjustment process. Did somebody tell you that from the assessor's office?
Yes. I mean, first of all, the calculation is essentially that. Okay.
Right, not how they do it. And I'm just wondering if somebody actually told you that or if that's kind of an assumption that you made.
Okay, when we talked to the assessor, they said that they used the 2020 value in determining the amount of the assessment. And that's putting the annual adjustment. And they explained that to us in an email.
Okay. And you know who sent the email? Do you know who you talked to or who sent the email?
The assessor was made by someone in the assessor's office, the person who was doing the determination of value.
Is this the letter you're talking about on October 13th, the letter that they sent you?
October 13th.
That included in your packet somewhere?
October 13th, no, that was the October 13th letter was a response by the assessor.
Okay.
This was done over the summer. In other words, we went to the assessor and asked the assessor, you know, how did you come to this value? And they explained it to us, what the process was, and what they did. And they also, through Freedom of Information Act, asked the assessor, you know, what information did you use in order to determine the value of the property? And there was no analysis, no comparables. They only sent us a sheet with all the comparables of the entire of Clark County. And I went back and asked again, was there any information that you used for the subject property? And they said, we have sent you all the information that we used. And that was under a Freedom of Information Act request, so I assume that was correct.
Okay.
It looks like you're requesting a value less than what you purchased it for in 2016. I noticed that you had talked about personal property, so you took out that value. What were you including as personal property?
The two items of personal property, which is actually detailed in attachment, I think it's B, which is our original submission to you in 2020. If you look at that, on page I think it is on page B7, which is Exhibit B, page 7. It goes through, and there is the value of the dock and the value of household removable personal property. The household removable personal property is listed in footnote number 4, and the fair value of the dock was $110,000.
Did the assessor appeal this to the state?
No, they did not.
So the half interest in the dock, so you share that dock?
Yes, we share the dock with one of our neighbors.
Okay. And although it's considered personal property, I'm assuming that as far as market value goes, if you were to sell the property, having a dock would obviously increase your marketability and market value, correct?
Yes, it increases the value of, because you're selling both the building, the land, and the dock. The dock has a value.
But it's sold as personal property, not as real property.
That's right. It's sold as personal property. It's not real property. And the assessor has specifically stated in 2014 that it is non-assessable property. That was in your decision for 2020. You reiterate that it is non-assessable personal property.
Do you pay any kind of a permit fee or anything on that?
I pay no permit fee now. I don't think there are any permit fees associated with it.
A permit fee or a license fee or anything like that. I mean, like some other personal properties are taxed as a licensing fee or something like that.
No, there is no, to my knowledge, I mean, no. There's no other tax or fee that is paid on that property.
Okay, that is. Okay.
I mean, in your decision of with respect to 2020, you specifically note that these factors in your decision.
Yeah.
And a copy of that decision is attached as well.
Yep.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't think so either. It looks like that's a lot of data here provided. I appreciate it.
No other questions on the comparability analysis as well?
No, I've got it. Okay. I'm good. Any more questions, Lisa, John?
No, I don't think I have any further questions.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 5th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 1300 for property ID 25308400. This is a senior exemption case for 2020 being reviewed in 2022. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Sid Smith on the line for the appellant. Sid Smith is the appellant, even though the property is under Nancy E. Smith, and it is Sydney Smith. So at this time, go ahead and raise your right hand, and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the denial of your your senior exemption on this particular piece of property as of 2020, even though it's 19 information, right? But it's as of 2020. Is that correct?
It is.
It's for the 2020 year.
It's yeah. for the 2020 year, yes.
Yeah, okay. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So as I understand, they have disallowed your continuing the senior exemption on the basis that you were not the owner of the property as of December 31st of 2020. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And that's, let's see, your sister, is that correct?
Yes.
Owned the property prior to that, and even though it was considered to be your property, it was not actually officially signed over to you until July of 2021. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us any more you want to add to this that we already have.
Okay, I guess it's just to reiterate that it was a, in the end, the property was going to become mine if my sister, if and when she did pass. And I was here since 2014. I've been helping with her care and working on her house and so on. And this was my residence from that point going forward. If you can see from my standpoint that, you know, all those facts being known that I was going to eventually inherit the house, and I was living on the premise for that many years, and it's for lack of a signature on a piece of paper, and if I would have probably been smart, I probably would have added my name to that before that time. But if that's the only thing that's missing, it's not a lot compared to what, you know, I end up having to pay for not having that signature on a piece of paper. And that's really pretty much sums it up. And I thought at one time that you were it was about actually proving I lived here for that long. I have all lots of proof. I've submitted quite a bit. So I think that is the case, I believe, and we had gotten it down. I applied for the senior discount when I heard about it, and then that was quite a bit of savings, and then we had that for, I think, about 2 years before Nancy's passing, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared based on the signature, lack of a signature on a piece of paper, and those are the facts, and I guess they kind of speak for themselves. And so I don't know what else I can add to it, but except that it's a bigger financial burden that it was taken care of. We had applied for the and had been approved, and it's going reversing. Like I'm not even I'm a total stranger on the site here, and I've been here since 2014. So, and I am definitely a senior. I'm living on Social Security. And that's why the request is put in, for those reasons.
Well, when did she pass?
She passed in April, on April 21st of 2021.
And you now are officially on the property as of July of 2021.
Yes. Yeah, after
next year, you shouldn't have this problem at all.
Yes.
Well, these show to be unofficial copies. Is that just mean it's a copy of the original document? And how does that get claimed? Are you the executor of her estate?
Yes. It was in the will. And my sister passed away in 2019. My brother passed away in 2012, and it left me as the sole survivor in the family. Seven.
You said she passed away in 2019. Is that a different sister?
Yes, that was my sister, Chris, passed away. And she was on the will, and my brother and I were the main beneficiaries on the will, and he passed away in 2012. And then Chris in 2019, and Nancy in 2021. And that left me the last sole survivor of the family of seven. So that's how we come to this.
So you had the authority as the executor of this estate to pass this on to yourself, is that correct?
Yes.
And were you her custodian before that time?
I was here when I arrived here. She still had most of her capacities, and it wasn't until 2017 when we had to hire her. She had a stroke and some heart failure issues and had to be rushed to the hospital for the first time. And I had to step in, and then along with any other duties I had here as far as house maintenance and so on and grocery shopping, I hired a staff of helpers to help with her. And she needed somebody for a while at every day. We had somebody here for at least 8 hours a day. And so that was how I transferred from just being here to help her with general things on the house to the caregiving. The caregivers were here for 8 hours, and I'd take the rest of the 24-hour period, and I was here for that at night and so on. And then we had help for 7 days a week in the beginning, and then I cut that back to where I did have the help 5 days a week, and I just take care of the weekends myself. And that's how it was when she passed. We were in that capacity. And,
did you have an official guardianship drawn up at that time?
No, we just... Basically, we actually had a current will drawn up, and then I eventually found the original will, which in fact backed up the new will. So, and I wasn't advised to have a guardianship drawn up, and I just went ahead with what the will said, and it was taken to a lawyer, and the lawyer said, "Well, that's it. You're in charge, you know." And I just did it.
To sign on her behalf.
Yes, I had power of attorney. Yes.
The will gave you that power of attorney.
It did. Yes.
And did you submit that will to the, I mean, it's not in the documentation you sent to us, but did you submit that information to the assessor's office?
If they asked for it, I did. If it's not there, then it's, I don't know why not. I don't believe they asked for it, but I can sure supply it.
Well, it says 2020 income, residency, and ownership. All required documents. So I wondered what you submitted for proof of ownership, or if you did.
Well, if it was termed as ownership, I probably didn't. I wasn't the actual owner in 2020. It was in 2021 when anything that needed to be submitted, I would have if asked to.
Well, there are a couple other provisions that would constitute a constructive ownership, but I don't know if that situation where the will, I mean, that, it's dependent upon the death of the owner. Because in theory, I mean, you could have died before her, and then you would not have had any ownership rights whatsoever.
I don't have any other questions.
I have no further questions.
No? Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, I think we understand it.
Okay, well, thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.